watching Victoria Braith work her magic on the weaving loom, creating a unique piece of fabric that will be made into a dish towel. Victoria is one of several local textile artists filling the historic Macaulay House in Picton, demonstrating their craft at the Textile Takeover event. It is part of the Flashback February lineup, taking place throughout Prince Edward County during the entire month. Victoria tells me about her craft.
My name is Victoria Braith.
And how long have you been weaving?
For about 3 years. That's it, I know. I started weaving when I was doing a PhD in philosophy. I was doing something based on process and relations, and all that I was reading used a lot of weaving metaphors. And since I was already wanting to express this philosophy through art, I started weaving and I just really fell in love. And so how weaving works is that you set up a certain structure, and with your feet you're doing actions, and as I'm going through and making fabric like the old traditional way, I feel like I am just sort of shaping the universe, working. It's very meditative, so I get into a flow, and so it's sort of making music, but that has a material thing in the end.
As I walk around the house, there's a faint smell of wood fire and the sweet scent of hot apple cider coming from the kitchen. We watch as Bay Woodyard is dyeing wool using a centuries-old technique. She tells us about it.
Yeah, so natural dyeing existed for, you know, hundreds and thousands of years before the synthetic dyes that we use now. And so there is a historical record of how those dyes are made and what is used to make the dyes. So that's what I use the historical record to find out what will work. There's a lot of misinformation available on the internet now about natural dyes, and people think that just anything can be used as a natural dye, but that's not the case. So you can waste a lot of time and materials trying to get something that will never be a dye to work. So what I have here today, I decided to use some different types of dye. So one of them is a wild foraged dye. So I've got buckthorn berries. Those are from an invasive European buckthorn that grows in the county everywhere. You can use the berries for dye, and they've been traditionally used for dye all over the world. So the buckthorn berry dye is green. And then I also have something that you can just have from around the house that works. I've got red onion skins. And so red onion skins actually don't dye red. You would think they would, but the chemistry of the onion skins actually makes them dye more of a greeny brown color, which is quite nice.
Jessica Chase is curator of the Macaulay Heritage Park that includes the house and the museum, housing the award-winning Path Forward exhibit that explores truth and reconciliation in Prince Edward County. All is part of the month-long Flashback February event, celebrating everything heritage in the county, including music, food, lectures, and interactive events. Jessica tells us more about Textile Takeover. So Jessica, tell me about this event.
Bay and Bear are the organizers. I can certainly tell you from the museum's perspective, collaborated with them first at Gather last year, where we just out there and being able to display some of the museum's textiles. That was super fun. And so when the two of them approached us saying that they would love to do an installation or an animation at Macaulay House, it seemed like the perfect marriage of our historic spaces, historic textiles, but also having these traditional textile arts that are still alive and well in Prince Edward County and more broadly, bringing artists who are practicing those traditions into these spaces and bringing them to life. I mean, it's just a natural fit.
I move on to the front room where there are a couple of people busy spinning wool. Debbie tells us how she got started, and Joseph talks about his journey.
Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions?
Go for it.
How did you become interested in spinning?
From a friend who is an avid spinner who has probably 6 spinning wheels, and one evening she plunked one in front of me and one in front of my friend Karen, and it's been love ever since.
Yeah. And the majority of wool that you would use, what animal would that be from?
I really like blue-faced Leicester the best, but I also like to incorporate alpaca or bison or mohair with it. Mohair gives it a bit of a halo, and alpaca gives it more warmth and softness. So they're a nice combination.
So where would you get bison?
you would buy it from a someone who supplies it that would be, that they would be a fiber supplier. There's a gal in Toronto that I buy from.
Yeah. How did you become interested in spinning?
Well, I started wanting to grow flax to make linen originally. It was my fourth season growing flax this year, and I thought, well, I better learn to actually spin it because I have no idea. So I found the County Spinners and Weavers Guild and have been a part for just over 2 years now, and I've been spinning wool in that time.
Right. What about the flax?
Yes, this year I think I'm going to finally brave it and try and spin some of it because it's a lot more difficult than wool.
Why is it more difficult?
I don't know. Well, no, it's long. Like the fibers in this wool is 4 inches long, whereas in the flax, each fiber is, some of them are over 30 inches. So it's a very different way of spinning. And it's coarser, that's right. So the preparation's different.
The Macaulay House was built in 1830, and it was so appropriate to see these textile artists working on their projects using methods that were likely part of this very historic house. I moved to the various rooms and spoke with embroidery enthusiasts, an eco-printer, award-winning quilters and rug-hooking artists, and a filmmaker. It was truly evident that all of these textile artists share a love for their craft. For the Local Journalism Initiative, frequencynews.ca, and CJPE County FM, I'm Brenda Little.